From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. In earthquake-stricken Japan, the government is offering reassurances about today's explosion at a nuclear reactor. The blast injured several workers and sparked fears of a meltdown, but now the government says it did not affect the metal container sheltering the reactor, and there is little risk of contamination. Reporter Dwali Saikato is in Fukushima Prefecture, where the reactor is located. She describes the destruction she's seen in the area.
We've been driving around for the last hour and a half, just looking at some of the damage in town. It's pockets of devastation, but you can see where three-story buildings were just pancaked. The various convenience stores, gas stations have been empty. We have been seeing lines around essentially small fountains around the city where people are lined up getting water. A lot of the places basically just don't have any water. There are limited electricity in certain places.
Reporter Dwali Saikato, there has been a strong aftershock in the area where she is today. The true scale of the destruction in Japan is far from known, but thousands are dead or missing, and the government is mounting a military rescue. The first wave of what will be 50,000 troops has begun arriving by boats and helicopters, and disaster relief teams from around the world have begun arriving today. The International Red Cross has thousands of tents and other non-food relief supplies are ready to go to tsunami-struck areas of Japan. Lisa Schlein in Geneva reports large stocks of goods are on standby in the Asia-Pacific region.
Thousands of local Red Cross volunteers are working closely with heavily tsunami-affected local communities. They're helping to relocate people at risk and providing life-saving assistance. Red Cross spokesman Paul Keneally says the Japanese Red Cross is carrying out assessments.
Looking at the areas of health, at shelter, nutrition, and psychological support. And they're increasing their deployments by the hour.
As the waters recede, Keneally says a more accurate picture of the extent of the devastation and the needs will emerge. But clearly, a major cleanup operation will be required. The Japanese Red Cross has set up a special website to help reunite family members and friends. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
Crews are monitoring hotspots today in suburban Oklahoma City, where wind-driven grass fires have burned dozens of homes. Authorities say the fires have been contained, but in North Texas, they're still working to contain a fire in Jack County, where 9 homes are destroyed. The National Weather Service has issued a red flag fire warning for most of Oklahoma and Texas, as well as for parts of Colorado, Kansas, New Mexico, and Missouri. This is NPR News. In Libya, rebel leaders are calling for weapons and medical assistance as fierce fighting rages. They appear to have now been forced out of the key oil port of Ras Lanuf, and forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi are back in control of the strategic town of Zawiya. As NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Benghazi, the Arab League is due to take up the conflict in Libya today.
Supporters of the rebels in Benghazi added Qatar to their list of countries they're thanking after an aid ship arrived with humanitarian supplies. Leaders of the provisional government said in addition to medical supplies, weapons are needed. Rebel fighters are struggling to hold territory near Brega in the face of a sustained air and land assault by forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. In Cairo, the Arab League is due to take up the Libya situation without the presence of Libyan envoys, who are being excluded from the discussions, according to League officials. European leaders say Arab League support and a UN resolution are crucial in getting Western states to agree to a no-fly zone over Libya. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Benghazi.
The European Union's foreign policy chief is expected to attend the Arab League meeting in Egypt today. Catherine Ashton is due to arrive in Cairo after a meeting of EU foreign ministers in Budapest. Yesterday, EU leaders agreed to consider several options to try to force Muammar Gaddafi to step down, but stopped short of endorsing a no-fly zone or other military means. Doctors and eyewitnesses say at least one person is dead after Yemeni security forces stormed a square where thousands of pro-democracy protesters have been camped for weeks. Witnesses say the security forces used live rounds and tear gas in the raid on the central square in the capital. Hundreds are said to be wounded. I'm Giles Snyder, and this is NPR News. Support.